At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Rex Huerman.
Welcome back to what might be the most chilling segment yet of our analysis with psychotherapist Siobhan Scott. What you're about to witness includes actual audio of Rex Huerman calling from jail. I need to warn you, hearing the voice of an alleged serial killer speaking to his devoted wife, it's a little unsettling. It's not that he's saying anything crazy or horrible. It's the normalcy of it that makes it unsettling. It's what Asa Elrib says about their relationship that will disturb you. Before we play that footage and go into some analyzing with psychotherapist Siobhan Scott, let me provide some context that makes these phone calls even more significant. The conversations are taking place from the Suffolk County Jail in Riverhead, where Rex Huerman has been held since July of 23. Every call from that facility is recorded. Every call is monitored. Rex knows this. Asa knows this. Yet they continue these conversations as if they're discussing what to have for dinner or any normal evening. Here's what wasn't happening in these calls. Any proclamation of innocence, any outrage at false accusations, any discussion of fighting the charges. Instead, we get mundane pleasantries in Asa's continued devotion. It's what defense attorneys call consciousness of guilt, when the absence of denial becomes more damning than any confession. Now, let me tell you something crucial about the timeline here. By the time these calls were being recorded, Asa had already visited Rex multiple times in jail. She's seen him behind glass in shackles wearing a prison jumpsuit. She's walked past protesters outside the jail calling him a monster. She's heard the charges read in court, 7 women murdered over 3 decades. Yet she continues these calls with the same tone you'd use to check in with a traveling spouse. What's particularly revealing, and Siobhan Scott picks up on this immediately, is Asa's physical appearance by this point. The documentary shows a woman who appears to have deteriorated significantly since Rex's arrest. Her dental health, her grooming, her overall presentation, all showing signs of severe psychological distress. Yet she lights up when talking to Rex, transforms when hearing his voice, Here's something that didn't make it into our discussion but provides crucial context. Phone calls from Suffolk County Jail cost money. Lots of money. Talking about dollars per minute. With companies profiting from prisoners' contact with the outside world. Asa, who has no job, no access to bank accounts, and is battling cancer without health insurance, allegedly, is somehow finding money for the calls. She's prioritizing hearing Rex's voice over what? Her own medical care? It's hard to know. We don't know her finances. We do know what she's told us. And then there's the divorce that wasn't really a divorce. Asa filed papers 6 days after Rex's arrest, leading many to believe she was cutting ties. But as you'll hear in this segment, that was purely strategic, a financial move to protect assets from civil lawsuits by family's victims. In her mind, in her heart, she still misses Rex Huerman. Still devoted, still in love. She's waiting for her hero to come home. What Siobhan and I explore in this segment goes beyond the phone calls themselves to examining what psychologists call trauma bonding at its end point. This is what happens when the psychological chains become so strong that even prison bars can't break them. When the need for the abuser's approval transcends reality itself. When love becomes so distorted that it survives even the most horrific revelations. And then we hear from Victoria, Rex's daughter, whose journey from admiration to horror provides a stark contrast to her mother's continued devotion. The phrase that she uses, past tense, I looked up to him, a linguistic shift that Siobhan identifies as crucial. It's a crack in the facade, the beginning of acceptance, the start of healing. Perhaps the most disturbing is Asa's revelation about what would hurt Rex. In a moment that defies all logic, she suggests that telling him that she loved him would cause him pain. Think about that. After everything he's accused of, after all the evidence against him, she believes her love would hurt him. It's a statement so psychologically complex that even Siobhan struggles to fully unpack it. We're going to witness a family in various stages of psychological destruction, a wife who can't see the monster she married, a daughter beginning to accept the unthinkable, and at the center of it all, a man accused of unimaginable crimes who still receives devoted phone calls from the woman who shared his bed for 27 years. It's trauma, it's denial, and delusion crystallized into a few minutes of footage that will haunt you long after you've watched it. Here's a interaction where we actually hear from Rex. This is them on a phone call in the documentary.
To accept this free call, press 1. To refuse this free call, press 2.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello.
The suspected serial killer, Rex Huerman, remains in jail on murder charges.
He's been held at the Suffolk County Jail in Riverhead since he was arrested.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello.
I'm doing great. Now that I've got you on the phone...
Now, see, I'm giving you a call to make sure you know I'm paid today.
All right. What'd you have for dinner?
Oh, just a burger and some mashed potatoes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll eat up early tomorrow, try to take a walk. Because I couldn't today, because it was just uncoordinated. Am I still seeing you? I'm sorry.
Yes, you are.
Okay. I will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
And I will see you on Friday.
Yes.
Bye.
That was creepy.
Just really creepy.
Even her, and I don't want to like insult aesthetics or anything, but she even looked really creepy there with the teeth.
Well,
and all that.
Oh, yeah, you know, when you're evaluating a person for psychological health, their physical appearance is something that you make note of. Mm-hmm. It's considered you know, revealing. Are they well kept, well groomed? Do they take care? It doesn't have to mean they're beautiful, but you know, you know, do they take care of themselves? If they don't, there's meaning in that.
Yeah.
This woman, her appearance, her current appearance, it raises some red flags again about things not being quite right with her.
What does it say? I mean, what does it say, obviously, if you know, she's going through hell, like, without a doubt, the whole family is. But, I mean, what does that say? I mean, just, you know, I can relate, like, when I've been in depressive states after horrible shit happens, you know, and you can, too, after reading your book, where it's like, you just kind of go down to the whatever, here's clothes, I'll put them on today. Yeah. Is it a sign of a depressive state? I mean, what are we seeing in that?
It sure can be depression. It can be disorganized thinking. Mm-hmm. So somebody could be a little bit delusional or having psychotic problems. And we're a long way now from his arrest. Yeah. I mean, I don't remember the date, but, you know, it's been a while. And so I would think it's her appearance at this point is... So what's the right word? She's just kind of deteriorated. Mm-hmm. It again, it's a flag that this lady is not doing well.
And still, you sure are. You're going to see me this. Do you think even Rex is surprised at this point that Asa's still hanging out? I mean, I think once you get busted for this and there's hairs on the victims and all that, and you got the manifesto in the basement and everything else, wouldn't be a hard sell to believe that your wife might leave you. But she's still sticking around. I mean, I wonder if Rex himself is taken aback a little bit by this.
I very well could be. And, you know, when he was first arrested, and it was just, what, a month after that she filed for divorce. Mm-hmm. And I kind of applauded that at the time. I thought, well, what a healthy response. And then it turns out in the documentary, well, that was just to protect her assets.
Yeah.
That in no way does she consider him not the love of her life anymore.
Yeah. This is another interesting clip we're going to take a look at. She talks about not wanting to upset Rex. And I want you to pay attention to what she says would upset Rex Heuermann. Let's take a look at this.
Bye. I'm talking to him all the time, but he only has a certain amount of time to be able to make calls. So I can't get too comfortable talking to him about things that are going to hurt him.
What would hurt him? What are the things that hurt him?
Telling him that I love him, that will hurt him. The two of us were married for 27 years. We were 100% part of each other's lives. Does everybody really believe everything they hear?
Rex Heuermann is a demon.
Charged as a serial killer.
Do you really believe everything that's being said?
This man is a sexual sadist.
He enjoyed torturing his victims.
Well, we didn't buy it.
Telling him that she loves him would hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get there?
That's an interesting one, because clearly the way she's communicating to him shows her complete, utter dedication. And so is she thinking, you know, speculating, is she thinking that this is going to just stir his longing for her or highlight the loss? You know, I'm not quite sure. She had her eyes closed for a long time. Moment during that. So what is the story that she's trying to generate?
Telling him that she loves him would hurt him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's an unusual response.
Extremely. And yeah, like that. Why? Because you're divorced, but you're still standing by him. Would that hurt him because it brings shame to Rex? Does Rex feel shame if someone tells them that they love him because of, and even though he's done what he's done, I don't know. It's a weird complex right there.
It's very weird. And I think whenever you get those eyes closed from her, there's something unusual going on in her thinking process, that she's trying to pull something up.
Yeah.
And is it genuine? Because certainly the way she speaks to him is utter dedication.
Let me ask you this before we listen to some of the daughter stuff. What's your take on mom? Do you think she knew anything that was going on here? And this is all some sort of cognitive dissonance, or is it just literally cognitive dissonance because she really didn't know what was going on, but, you know, by choice of not questioning Rex on so many things.
I think that this lady, you know, you could say she's not, I won't say she meets criteria for any specific mental illness because I don't know enough about her,
sure.
But she's not well, and she's probably never been well. There are things wrong with her. And I think when she says, I had no idea, I think she didn't. I mean, that would be my guess. She didn't have any idea, but she's so submissive and so dependent on him, and in myriad ways, including he's my friend, he's my best friend, everyone needs a friend. He was probably her only friend. And so she just is very good at not seeing what's right in front of her. That's what I call the negative hallucination. Mm-hmm. Regular hallucination, you're seeing something that's not there. Well, she's not seeing things that are there. And I don't know that she has any volitional control over it. She just doesn't see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been life for so long. Rex Heuermann, I mean, you could say, you know, really conditioned her, but I mean, I would almost go brainwashed her to think that some of these things are just normal. Cause I mean, it would take, it's more than just, nah, we don't question this. Like, it was really solidly normal and it's still working. Whatever he conditioned her to or brainwashed her to believe, she's still under that control. She's still under the guise of race.
Very, very much. I agree completely.
Let's take a look at what was going on with the children. These are adults now, adult children of Rex Heuermann. They're talking about the relationship, what they thought of their dad. This is the daughter talking initially about her father in the documentary.
Starting when I was in college, they don't understand what I have. He got some really big jobs, and he was very busy for a couple of years. And actually, I was honestly really inspired by my dad. I looked up to him.
One, two, three. Can you smile?
That is.
I felt like, damn, I have some really big shoes to fill. Yeah.
When you think that he committed these acts while he was still seeing clients at his architecture firm, it made it even more chilling because he compartmentalized things to such a degree that he was able to outwardly conduct his life as normal in an otherwise routine way.
But his job was very demanding. And when it started to be visible that the stress was weighing on his mental health, sometimes he would come home frustrated. He needed to wind down. But he never hit any of us.
Were injuries to her face, torso, breasts.
The worst he would do.
The women were bound at the head or at the chest and later at the legs.
Was he would throw a plate into the sink.
Remains of three sex workers were discovered bound and concealed in burlap sacks.
That's the worst. Listen, like, my dad was an open book, and a lot of people who knew my dad, long-term clients, people he worked with for years, it was no secret he hunted. It was no secret he had guns. He was an open book.
Is it surprising? Is it weird that the kids are describing him as an open book and the worst he did was throw a plate into the sink? Or is this common with people who are living this double life that they're able to really present completely different to those around them?
It is, yes. That compartmentalization, I think, is kind of classic serial killer stuff. You know, you look at Ted Bundy, what was he volunteering on a helpline or something? I mean, you know, people had no idea. And this ability to keep up this facade and to compartmentalize so incredibly, that is normal for a person like this. But the healthy thing I heard from her there when she was initially speaking was, I looked up to him, mm-hmm. not I look up to him. And so that shows that there's a little crack in her defense mechanism that, you know, implying that she no longer looks up to him in the same way.
Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, as always, thank you for your insight. I need to sit with what we just witnessed here. I know you might too. That phone call, the normalcy of it, the normalcy Asa tries to inject into a conversation with a man accused of serial murder.
Had potatoes today.
It's almost more disturbing than if we heard someone screaming and accusations. But there's so much to unpack here that we didn't even touch on in this segment. Let's share something about those jail calls that makes them even more significant. In New York, recorded jail calls are admissible as evidence. Prosecutors listen to every word, analyzing not just what's said, but what isn't said. The fact that Rex never once proclaims his innocence in these calls, never exposes outrage at being falsely accused, never confronts Asa by insisting it's all a mistake. That silence speaks volumes, but keep in mind, they know the calls are being recorded. Defense attorneys often advise clients to avoid phone calls for their very reason, yet Rex continues to call and Asa continues to answer. The physical deterioration, Siobhan noted, in Asa is particularly telling. This isn't just someone going through a rough time. This is someone whose entire psychological framework may be crumbling while she desperately tries to hold it together. Denial issues, the unkept appearance, these are signs of severe depression and disorganization. Yet she musters the energy to visit Rex every Friday, to wait by the phone for his calls, to maintain this connection to the man accused of being one of New York's most prolific serial killers. Let's talk about what Victoria revealed about her father's compartmentalization. She describes a man who could plan murders while maintaining an architecture practice, who could bind and torture women, then come home, help with homework. The plate-throwing incident she minimizes, that's what psychologists call minimalization of abuse. Family has normalized explosive behavior to the point where violence against objects doesn't even register as concerning. And here's something chilling to consider. Victoria mentions that everyone knew Rex hunted and had guns. But hunting what? The timeline shows gaps between his alleged murders that coincide with hunting seasons. Was his passion for hunting actually in practice? Was every trip to hunt deer actually reconnaissance for hunting women? The fact that he was so open about some activities while keeping others completely secret shows a level of psychological sophistication that is terrifying. The statement that telling Rex she loves him would hurt him from Asa, it opens a psychological can of worms. Is Asa suggesting Rex feels guilt? That he knows he doesn't deserve love? Or is this about control, that expressing love when he can't physically respond maintains his psychological frustration? Whatever the answer, it reveals a relationship dynamic so twisted that normal emotional expression has become weaponized. What Siobhan identified as a negative hallucination, not seeing what's right in front of you, extends beyond Asa to the entire family system. They lived in a house with locked rooms, with a father who disappeared during family vacations, whose financial secrets and controlling behavior wreaked havoc, yet they described him as an open book. This is generational trauma in action, when dysfunction becomes so normalized that you can't even recognize it as abnormal. There's also a question of Rex's childhood bedroom being in the basement, the room where he allegedly committed some murders. Was his space from boyhood? The psychological implications are staggering there. Did something happen in that room when he was young that started this trajectory? Was returning there to kill a way of reclaiming power over some childhood trauma, allegedly? We may never know, but the symbolism is hard to ignore. For you guys watching and listening, particularly those who might recognize these patterns of devotion, despite evidence of terrible behavior. Please understand, love shouldn't require you to deny reality. Dedication doesn't mean blindness. And if you find yourself making excuses for behavior that horrifies others, if you're minimizing violence, if you're accepting locked rooms and secret lives, these aren't signs of a strong relationship. They are warning signs. The contrast between Asa and Victoria shows two possible paths when faced with unthinkable truth. Victoria is beginning the painful journey of acceptance using past tense, acknowledging the possibility of her father's guilt. It's agonizing, but it's healthy. Asa remains frozen in denial, deteriorating physically and mentally, while clinging to a love that may have enabled decades of murder. As this case moves forward to trial, these phone calls will likely be played in court. Jurors will hear Rex's voice, Asa's devotion, and the hollow normalcy that they try to maintain. They'll wonder, as we do, how love can survive such horror. The answer, as Siobhan Scott helps us understand, is that sometimes what we call love is actually something entirely different. Dependency, trauma bonding, a psychological prison were more confining than any jail. If this analysis has been valuable, please hit subscribe for more deep dives into the psychology of true crime on this and many cases. We got it for you right here. Press subscribe on the podcast, wherever you are listening, or on YouTube. If you're watching us there, hit subscribe there and let us know in the comments what you think about this case. And check us out on YouTube. If you're not there already, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again real soon.
Craving non-stop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.